Well, welcome back. It is good to be back together and come together and consider things from God's Word together, be challenged by the truths that it contain and see how they fit within our lives and hopefully cause us to be a little more bold, cause us to be have a little more courage and a little more confidence as we go out each week to try to serve Him and serve others and bring glory to His name. Just a couple of things before we get started in the lesson. I just want to say a couple words of thanks. First of all, I want to say thank you for everyone who helped in some way with the Middletown Festival. From those who were not able to come but offered up their prayers to those who were able to come and serve from some small part, just thank you for that. It was great to see that and see everyone participate from that. But the deed's not done. So really, you all have the task, the great opportunity to be praying for fruit from that. God will give the increase. But ultimately, we play a role in that. So be praying that those people that everybody got to talk to or receive some invitation will want to learn more about Jesus, and we could be the means by which they do that. So I would ask you to mention those things in your prayers as the day goes ahead. Also, I want to say a word of thanks. It's good from time to time just to say thank you to the group. It's been almost 4 months now that our family's been here. And I'm just going to tell you, it's been a blessing for us. It's been a challenge and stretches us in some way. But I'll just tell you, we're grateful to be among you and giving us this opportunity to support me in the work of evangelism in this place at this time. If you went home after services today and got on your device or turned on the TV and that was the forecast for the days ahead, how would you react? What would you think? I'll tell you, probably your first reaction is the weatherman made a mistake because it's September and you can't expect snow. But bear with me just a minute. What if that was the forecast that for the days ahead? How would you react? Would you see that as a good thing? Is that something to rejoice in? Is that something to take pleasure in? Or are you dreading the snow that might potentially fall? Well, I'll tell you, as a kid, if I saw that forecast, that would be something to rejoice in. I mean, there's the potential that Monday morning I don't have to go to school. I mean, Monday morning snow might fall. I might get to go out on that fresh blanket of snow, pack it down, spend the day sledding around a bonfire, drinking hot chocolate when I got wet and cold, come in and sit by the fire and watch a movie. That would be great. But something happened as I grew older. A lot of things happened when I started yelling at them. But one of the things that happened is my perspective changed. And when I see a forecast like that, you know what I think? I think, man, driving around town is going to be a beast. I'm going to have to go to the grocery and I'm going to have to beat 5,000 other people there because all the bread and milk is going to be gone. It is just going to be drudgery. I mean, there's those momentary times we look out when it snows, we say, man, it's beautiful, but we know for a fact that snow's going to be dirty, it's going to pile up in our driveways, and it is just hard for us to see any type of blessing associated with that kind of thing. But do you know there's a blessing when it snows? I mean, the fact is when it snows every winter, it serves as a blanket of insulation over the ground to protect the seeds that are trying to germinate. Secondly, there's a blessing associated with snow and the fact that it is the means by which God has set in motion that the ground will be filled with moisture during the winter months. And it's also a means by which the ground's replenished. In olden days, this was called poor man's fertilizer because the first snow in the ground would reintroduce ammonia and nitrogen to the ground. The Bible even alludes to things like that. In Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 10, the prophet writes, "For as the rain and snow come down from heaven and do not return there without watering the earth and making it bear and sprout and furnishing seed to the sower and bread to the eater." There's a blessing attached to that. And I guess the reason I use this illustration is simply this. I wonder if we look at the rest of God's blessings in that way. And my point, or what I want to talk to you about this morning, is the idea of God's unexpected blessings. When Wayne Hatfield read the sermon title this morning, he says, "Isn't that the way with all of God's blessing?" And to some sense, that's true, isn't it? I mean, I think Wayne was thinking about the idea that anything that God blesses us with, we maybe don't deserve it. Maybe he has the thought like the psalmist in Psalm 8, what are we, O man, that God is thoughtful or mindful of us? But really what I'm talking about with this idea of unexpected blessings is how God works in such a way that defies conventional wisdom and the ordinary ways in which we normally anticipate things to occur. And I want to say this to you. I think most of God's blessings to us as people come in these unexpected ways, or ways we do not expect or anticipate. That's the way God has always worked. I mean, he has taken the weak of this world to accomplish his purposes. Where you think about a shepherd king who became the mighty king over Israel, or you think about those judges who would deliver his people that were flawed and imperfect and weak in so many respects, or you move forward even to the time that we live in where we have this great treasure in earthen vessels. He takes these weak things and he accomplishes amazing things. Or you think about the idea where God makes those who are last first, or you think about those things where God takes those things that are dead and brings life from them. God just blows our minds in how he chooses to bless us. I mean, think about just how the ultimate spiritual blessing in Jesus Christ. What does Paul argue in 1 Corinthians chapter 1? He says, where is the wise man? Where is the scribe? Where's the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not come to know God, God was well pleased through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. For indeed, Jews ask for signs and Greeks search for wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, to Jews a stumbling block and to Greeks foolishness. What's his point? Well, his point is God chose to bless us spiritually through Jesus Christ by a means which the world's wisdom didn't seem to recognize. It was unconventional. It was unexpected. It defied the normal course of events. And we see that played out throughout Scripture, don't we? I mean, we can think of examples like Joseph's life, right? You know, he's sold by his brothers into bondage, forgotten in prison, rewarded and rewards being taken away. And ultimately, what was it? He said, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. He meant this as a blessing. But it didn't occur by normal means. Or you think about Paul's thorn in the flesh in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Paul had whatever this thing that beset his life, and either through inspiration or just coming to a realization about what his life was, he said, this is ultimately a blessing for me. It keeps me humbled. It keeps me from unduly elevating myself because of these magnificent revelations that have been given to me. It caused me to understand that when I am weak, then Christ is strong and he can truly use me. That was unexpected. That was unusual. And we see that throughout Scripture. These strange passages that pop up over and over again that say through unexpected means, there can come a blessing. Just consider this one in James chapter 1 verses 2 through 4. James says, consider it all my joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Let me tell you, the trial is not the blessing there. The trial is the channel by which the blessing will come. The idea of what makes us endure, let us have patience. The trials are the trials. They're the channel by which the blessing comes. But that's not how we expect it to come. That doesn't seem like a blessing to us. That doesn't even seem like a good thing. But the fact is, that's how God chose in this unexpected way to bring about this blessing. And so, the first point of this lesson is this, that God blesses us unexpectedly using what is really unusual means. But here's where my problem comes in. I have a hard time recognizing God's blessings in my life. I mean, I'm really quick when I get $100 in the mail, I'm like, God bless me. But the fact of the matter is most often the times of my growth and the times of my greatest blessing come in ways that I just do not expect or even realize in a given moment of time. And so the question, I guess, I want us to consider a couple of questions before we draw a conclusion is trying to help us see God's unexpected blessings and why we can't. I think one of the ways we can is we sometimes too often focus on the wrong things. I mean, you're in the midst of difficulty where you have some challenging aspect and we just can't see beyond that moment to see that there might be a blessing at the end of this tunnel. Right? That this might be an opportunity for me to change or to shape me or to remove something from my life. And all we can see is the circumstance, the difficulty, the challenge. And it's a burden. I'm mindful of the words of C.S. Lewis where he said, when we lose one blessing, another is often most unexpectedly given in its place. But you know what? If a blessing is taken from my life, it is hard for me to see anything but the thing that's removed. I'll give you a little, this is just a mundane, pitiful illustration. But since we've moved to Louisville, the AC went out on my truck and I went and got it fixed. Man, I was grateful. I mean, it was 90 degrees and I could have the air conditioner cranked up and my hair was blowing because the fan was moving. It was a joy to drive around to Louisville. But you know what? That lasted a week. My AC went out again. And all I can think about is that momentary blessing was taken from my life instead of saying, man, maybe I need to learn the lesson. I need to just toughen up a little bit and just get to work and stop worrying about if I'm driving around in 70 degree air conditioned air. All I can focus on the thing that's lost instead of the potential blessing that might be gained. I think sometimes I focus on the wrong things. Think about, if you will, with me, the Apostle Paul. Put yourselves in Paul's sandals for a moment. How would you focus on the events that transpired in his life? I mean, where he was falsely accused, he was basically almost lynched, and ultimately he was thrown in prison. How would you look at that set of circumstances? Would you see any type of blessing associated with it? Well, I'll tell you, most of us probably wouldn't. I wouldn't. Maybe I don't want to speak for you. All I would say was, God, you didn't deliver me from this. God, I prayed about this and it's still going on. I've lost my freedom. I've lost my will to go here and there. But the fact is when Paul considered the things that transpired in his life later, what did he think about? It's a blessing. He wanted to go see the saints of Rome and here I am. I didn't get there the way I thought I was, but I got there. Romans chapter 1 verses 9 through 12. For God, whom I serve in my spirit in the preaching of the gospel of his son, is my witness to how unceasingly I make mention of you. Always in my prayers making request, if perhaps now at last by the will of God, I may succeed in coming to you. For I long to see you so that I may impart some spiritual gift to you that you may be established. That is that I may be encouraged to get you together with you while among you. Each of us by the other's faith, both by yours and mine. He sounded like he wanted to go to Rome, didn't he? And he probably thought he was going to book a ticket on the best ocean liner available. But he went by means of chains. I mean, you think about how he described his time in prison there. In the book of Philippians. Now I want you to know, brethren, that my circumstances have turned out for the greater progress of the gospel, so that my imprisonment in the cause of Christ has become well known throughout the whole Praetorian Guard and to everyone else. And that most of the brethren, trusting in the Lord because of my imprisonment, have far more courage to speak the word of God without fear. He said, through this difficulty, this challenge, there's a blessing that grew out of this. I don't see how God did that. He says, that's what occurred. More people heard the gospel. More people were emboldened. God blesses unexpected ways. And maybe we could see it if we try to focus on different things. I guess the second thing that I would put out there, One of the reasons we can't see God's blessings is because we too often are looking for the wrong blessing, if you will. I tell you, when a situation crops up in my life, or there's some difficulty, all I can really envision is the outcome that I envision, right? What's going to fix this problem? You know, what is going to be the greatest blessing here? Well, if I'm sick, the greatest blessing, I'm going to get well. That's the blessing. Or if my truck breaks down, what's the blessing here? It gets fixed. And all I can really envision is one outcome for it to be a blessing. But I'm going to tell you, that's not how God works. He turns things on its head, and often the things that we least expect are the means by which the greatest blessings flow. And we just got to be open to the possibilities. Just think about, for just a minute, Jesus' Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5, 1 through 12, where we talk about the Beatitudes, where everything is turned upside down on its head. And every one of those things are really antithesis of things that we would consider blessings, but God says you will be blessed and He will comfort you in those things. And we think about that list and we think, well, most of those are spiritual. He forgives me. But then He gets down to the heart of things like persecution and trial. And He says, even in those things, there can be blessings that come out of that. That's not what I think. He says, don't focus on the circumstances. Greatness can come of this, either in your lives or in the lives of others. So I guess I got just 3 points I want to make with you quick. First of all, God wants to bless us. Don't ever forget that. God wants to bless you, and He delights in doing it. Just look at one passage. Turn over to Jeremiah chapter 32 and verse 41. Jeremiah chapter 32, verse 41. He says, I will make an everlasting covenant with them that I will not turn away from them to do good. And I will put the fear of the Lord in their hearts so they will not turn away. He wants to do good. He wants to bless. There's other passages that talk about He delights to bless. And I tell you, part of Mark's lesson this morning about being His child, I mean, sometimes I'm pretty stingy. And my kids ask for things. And I reluctantly dole it out, right? I pull off a dollar bill to hand to them. That's not God. God wants to bless us. He wants to bless us richly. He wants to bless us abundantly. He wants to bless us lavishly. So at no point, no matter how difficult or challenging our life may seem in a moment of time, never forget that fact. God wants to bless you. Amen. The second thing I guess I want us to just realize associated with that is this. That often the blessing that we're looking for, or what we think is the blessing, is not what God's going to ultimately give us, because He's ultimately going to give us the very thing that's the best for Him and brings the most glory to His name. And often it's going to come from a way that, or a direction that we can't even envision or we can't even imagine. And we've got to be open to that possibility. My answer is not always the best answer. My vision is not always the best vision. I think about this passage that Ryan read for us in Isaiah chapter 35, where it talks about this idea of something blooming in the desert. Have you anybody been to the desert? Can you imagine a more desolate, bereft place of life? I mean, it's just all grays and browns. And you think, there's nothing could come out of this stuff. I mean, you reach down and you pick up some grit and it just... The dust blows up in the air. It's 114 degrees. And you're saying, there's nothing there. But even as you walk along a desert path, you find these things of beauty in there. This is from the desert in Southern California. Enzo Borrego Desert. And there's God can take something that's bereft and seemingly dry and give it beauty. Now, I guess I want to stop for just a minute and just tell you why I chose to preach this lesson. Many of you who are on social media and maybe are just clued in generally have seen often or heard people say hashtag blessed. And it's become so prevalent that it's become a meme. And the thing is, I'm going to just challenge you. A lot of times when people use that word, I'm not sure that it applies to a blessing or not. But the thing is people often apply those to things that are obviously good in their life. Hey, I got $100. Hashtag blessed. I got a raise. Hashtag blessed. I got a new car. Hashtag blessed. Too blessed to stress. But I'll tell you what. The person who is sick, the person might have lost their job, the person's car who's broken down, if they're a child of God, can still find a blessing in the circumstance. That's the point. Because the greatest blessing that God has given us is always resting in Himself. If nothing else comes out of this moment in time, it will cause me to draw close, hopefully cause me to draw closer to Him and to appreciate Him more and value Him more and want to be with Him more. That is the blessing. I was thinking this week about Hebrews chapter 11. We read Hebrews chapter 11, this long litany of these heroes of faith. And we get right down to the end of Hebrews chapter 11 and there's these kind of leftovers, right? And you know what? There were people sawn in two. And you go, their faith delivered them? No. God's grace saw them through that. And they still received the promises. They were still blessed. They got to be in the presence of God. And that's the lesson that we need to take. We need to realize that in each and every circumstance, God's blessed us. He wants to bless us. And oftentimes we may not see where it comes from, but it's coming. It may be a shaping of our character, a molding of our will. It may be a removing something from our life that stands as an impediment to the way. And when it's a good thing that we can enjoy, we rejoice. When it's a difficult thing in our lives, we need to see beyond it. And ultimately realize that if we've got God in our lives, that's the blessing that we depend upon above all others. That's the lesson. And pray to God that we would lean on it. Because it's that type of disposition and attitude that's going to carry us through in this life when things are not always going good. When things are not as rosy as they could be, or my neighbor's doing better than me, God wants to bless you. And He wants to bless you by allowing you to be in His presence. That's the thought that I prepared for us to consider this morning. And I pray you just can think about it. And first of all, if it is true to Scripture, measure it by Scripture. And if it is true, then think about in some way how it could impact my life and how I look at my life and look at the people around me. And third, then, how should that change how I live my life? It should cause me to live with a little bit greater expectation and then a little bit more readily to praise God, to have a rejoicing spirit to help me carry on even when it's difficult. That's the lesson. But we don't want to break this assembly without, again, extending the invitation. And the invitation is simply this: if you have a need to deal with sin, please come. If you don't know Christ Jesus and you're still in your sin, God wants to forgive you. He has given the greatest gift possible to make that forgiveness possible, that forgiveness available. If you need to be washed clean, we can do that. If you need prayers because you struggle with sin and you need the help of your brethren, we're here to do that too. Not because we're so much better than you, but because we understand the mercy and the grace of God ourselves. And we want to be there so that next time you'll be there for us. So if we can help you in any way, please come as David leads us in this song.